He struts like John Wayne, resembles Jim Carrey, and dresses like he's visually impaired. Because he is. Insight. Insight with Mark Farrell on the Progressive Radio Network.
Welcome, welcome, welcome. Yeah, it's the Progressive Radio Network. My name's Mark Farrell. Friday Eve in New York City. Man, I'm glad I didn't wear a skirt today. It is so, so windy. Everybody in New York City today is having a bad hair day. Oh, man, the rain has subsided. And the hopes are the Yankees will be magical tonight. My guest is sitting next to me. You're going to meet her in a few minutes. Are you a Yankee fan?
By default.
By default. Okay. Well, a lot of people are a lot of things by default. Kind of how life happens. Sometimes we fall into careers by default. Sometimes we fall into relationships, which become mortgage payments, which become kids. See how things happen? It's crazy, right? Speaking of crazy, a little bit of loco. Do you know the guy who has the title of President of the United States? Yes, yes, you know that guy. He's coming unglued. This is the best reality TV ever. I find myself wanting to put the kids to bed so my wife and I can just turn on every talk show and just get so ensconced in every incredibly ridiculous nuance that he does every day. Did you see the letter? Read the letter? Hear the letter that he wrote to the leader of Turkey? Oh my God. My 7-year-old could like put that to shame easily. Oh my, it's just deplorable on every single level. By the way, hi, my name is Mark. Hope you're having a good Thursday. We got a jam-packed show. We're going to meet Deirdre. She is from an organization called Impact 100 that's doing incredible things for people that are already on the move, that are movers and shakers, trailblazers, doing incredible things on different levels. Could be cultural, could be music, could be education, health, and they're providing more opportunity for these people. We're going to meet a woman from an organization called Family Summits, Family Nature Summits, and they are a national organization that provides opportunity for families to experience the great outdoors on many levels, unplug, and experience what we call the soil under your feet. That's what I call it. You can call it whatever you like, but it's a pretty incredible organization, and they have retreats every year at different locations nationally. And this particular one is going to be on the West Coast, in the Redwood Forest. So, yeah, I'm really, really psyched to go there. So we'll meet her in about 30 minutes. But before I get to all this compelling talk today, I want to talk to you about my current soccer coaching situation. It's kind of deplorable. Well, I'll explain that because I coach two teams for my kids. I have a 10-year-old and a 7-year-old. The 7-year-old's team is doing pretty well. They're doing, I think there are 3 wins and 4 losses or 3-3, something like that. So, and maybe 1 tie. Pretty respectable. Now, the other team is a whole different version. We are going to week number 6, and there's a big goose egg right before that. So we're 0-5. Now, I take this personally. To an extent, because obviously a coach can only be to a certain limitation as good as their talent. Now it's my job and a coach's job to cultivate talent, develop talent. This is a recreation league, so I should footnote it by saying it's not a travel league. It's not super aggressive. Parents are, for the most part, mild and respectful. I haven't seen one parent removed from the fields in a couple of seasons. So believe it or not, you think I'm being funny, but that's pretty commonplace across this great country of ours. So anyway, so here I am the first day of practice, you know, weeks ago, going like scratching my head going, oh, my God, this is not good. This is not good. I'd rather be on a Jets or Giants sideline right now. And that's not good. Well, it's getting better for both, actually. So my point is that you can imagine how I make them feel very good about themselves because that's kind of the person who I am. I have a positive atmosphere, perspective, disposition, and I try to spill that onto my players. Of course, I impact or impasse or, God, I can't speak this morning. I pass along sage advice along with drills, the science and the math and basically the fundamentals of soccer. I dumb it real down because I want it very, very simple, and I build it up from there. And so, as I said to you, we have not had a win, but we are an entirely different team. And I am so happy for these boys. So thrilled that I said to them at the conclusion of last week's game, I said, I don't even care that you didn't win, because even if you won, I wouldn't have been any happier, because the effort that you left on this field this game and the four games prior to this has been nothing short of exceptional. These guys just have the best zeal and determination. Yeah, I make them run in practice, and they're, you know, I make it fun, because, and also if they do something silly or they don't listen, I make them. We have a set of woods behind the soccer field. I'm like, to the woods you go. And they have to run to the woods, whether it's one person, two people. And of course, yes, I make my son run. And now the coach goes, good, I'm glad you make him run. He needed to. I'm like, yeah, there's no special treatment here. Once I made myself run, because I said something, I thought that wasn't a good coaching move. So I said, you know what? I'm taking myself to the woods. How's that? I even surprised myself. And I cursed myself out on the way. But anyway, it's just amazing how the environment that we all are in can have such a impact, positive impact. And these boys, they should win a game or two. But unfortunately, the talent, the pool, the three other teams, there's only four teams in this particular division, are right on, spot on. So it's going to be very, very difficult. I truly hope, I want nothing more in my life right now for the immediate future than for these guys to win one game. My son has scored a goal. And I think there's been two or three other goals. They have it in them, because I said to him, listen, we may not have the skills. We may not have a lot of things, but we're going to have two things that they don't have. We're going to have the endurance to outlast them, and we're going to have the passion, the dedication. And they prove this time and time again. So, you know, this is transferable. Whether you're a kid, a teenager, raising a kid or a teenager, or an adult, whatever situation you're in, a relationship, maybe it's a work environment thing because they can be so toxic. Maybe it's just a friendship. You know, friendships can be so toxic. Like if somebody brings you down, or they're like a black cloud or an energy vampire, time to move on. And I, you know, it's funny when you read these like little colloquialisms or sayings on Facebook, like if your circle of friends doesn't talk about money, retirement, like all kind of pillars of life, then find new friends. Of course, I think that's a little ridiculous, but there is something to be said about that, because yes, having friends sometimes is a great escapism. You don't want to be around your family, or you need a break from everything that you're ensconced in, you're around, you're absorbed in, work, all the pressure. So you go out and let your hair down. Or maybe you're going to do yoga, or going to the gym, or just going to hang out at somebody's house. But I do believe there's some truth into that, because obviously we want to surround ourselves with people who are not so all the time like-minded, because how can we be more open-minded and learn about different cultures, different philosophies, different policies, different politics? You don't have to agree, but to understand someone's perspective, I think, says a great deal. And speaking of perspective, so one more thing about that. So I'll keep you posted about this team. They're called Inferno. And I instituted something new last week. It's called the MVT, Most Valuable Teammate, because I think I wanted to incorporate something else so these gentlemen can just feel really, really good and have something to shoot for. So I instituted this Most Valuable Teammate. And why I did that is because, so if they don't have a win, maybe they can attain this title. So on Tuesday, we had practice at night, and it was actually literally at night because it's getting so dark earlier. I gave this title to two different players because when I turned around on a water break, two of these players on their own accord just sprinted to where? The woods. And I turned around and they came back. I said, hey, what was that about? They're like, oh, we wanted to do another run. So at the end of the practice, I said, guys, everyone did remarkable today, et cetera, all my good, you know, sideline talk. And then I said, but the two of you are outstanding here, and here's why. Everyone showed team camaraderie and evidence of just really working hard, but these two took it another step higher. and they did something that they were not expected to do. So maybe that's something that we all need to take away from this little conversation. Do something you're not expected to do. It is about 10 minutes after the hour in New York City. My name is Mark Farrell. The show is Insight on the Progressive Radio Network. Gary Noll, the founder of the network, comes up at noon. But before then, we have a lot of great conversations to get to. And joining me on the phone is a great friend of the show's, a person who has got a heart of gold, and she's been steadfastly pursuing the mission of the American Foundation for Suicide Prevention for well over a decade. Ellen Houlihan, how the heck are you?
Hey, Mark, how are you?
Wow, you are chipper. How many cups of coffee did you have this morning?
Only one caffeine in the morning. Only
oh,
one.
That's good. That's good. So listen, you have a great event happening this Saturday in Basking Ridge, New Jersey at the Basking Ridge Firehouse. It's the third annual Unplugged for AFSP, as I mentioned, American Foundation for Suicide Prevention, one of the leading organizations for suicide prevention, education, research, you name it. And it's this Saturday from 7 to 10. And tell us why you're doing this and why an event, even of a small caliber, is so vital.
Well, I became involved about maybe 14 years ago. We lost my sister-in-law, Carol, to suicide. And looking around, you know, after everybody goes home, it's like, then what do you do?
Exactly.
There's no support, or at least I didn't know of any support. There was none that anybody offered. So basically, I did a Google search, and I came up with the American Foundation for Suicide Prevention. And I decided I could either be quiet and say nothing, which I understand because there's a stigma attached to it.
And that's an impossibility for you to be quiet, as I know you.
Right. And I just,
that's a good thing.
Yeah, thanks, Mark. No, you're right. I did not want to be quiet. And the organization taught me that it's okay to talk about mental health. It's okay to talk about suicide. So many times, you know, at least in my parents' generation and my grandparents, you know, so-and-so died from a heart attack. Well, you know, years later you find out, no, that's not the case. That's not how they died. You know, it's not that they're sweeping it under the rug, so to say. It's just that they didn't know what to say. They weren't educated in a lot of this stuff back then. So the organization is great because it's there to help people who have suffered a loss. Mm-hmm. So they realize they're not walking the journey themselves. There's other people who can talk to, who will understand. Because unless you've gone through this, you know, the worst thing I think somebody can say is, oh, I know how you feel. Well, unless you've walked in my shoes, you really don't.
Absolutely.
And it's not that they're trying to be cruel or mean.
Of course.
It's just because they don't understand.
And I want to interrupt you here for a second, Ellen, because you pointed out something very vital that you didn't know where to look, but then you found AFSP. And AFSP was there for myself when we lost my brother 26 years ago. Went to Rutgers University where they had a meeting, and you can meet regarding in terms of the relationship of who you lost. And that was life-changing for myself. My mother, as you know, became the chair of New Jersey, and the rest is all history, and we've become involved because it's about education. It's about changing perspectives, chipping away at the stigma. The reality is everyone has pain, but no one needs to suffer. And so an organization like this, even with an event like this, you're unplugged for AFSAP this Saturday in Basking Ridge Firehouse is vital because we raise critical funds.
Right. And basically, I mean, majority of the funds for the organization do go to research, which we do need. But something like you said, like this may be a small event, but it helps bring educational programs into the communities, which you know is so vital. We have Safe Talk. We have Talk Saves Lives. And we also have Mental Health First Aid. And, you know, you can't solve a problem if you don't talk about it. And this is a way of just getting making people aware. It's almost like if you see something, say something.
Absolutely.
But in this case, it's really hard to have that conversation sometimes with people. It's really hard to say, you know, to say the words, are you thinking of killing yourself? And most people, I think, majority of people, I think, who are in pain do want somebody to reach out to them. They don't know how to reach out because of their pain. So if you can have that conversation and you know what the signs are to look for, or if you just, you know, you may only see one or two and say, you know, I noticed lately, you know, you haven't been yourself. I've noticed this and that. You know, I have some time. Why don't we sit down? Let's talk. Let me see if there's something I can do, something I can help you with.
Absolutely. And I think the dialogue has changed. The script is changing because sometimes, you know, you can't see the trees from the forest because sometimes I feel like I'm ensconced and so are you. I speak at schools and they're getting youth programs involved where kids are like, you know, a few years down the road, if they're in fifth grade or sixth grade, obviously it's appropriate in terms of the language that you use. But if they're in high school, they'll be like, oh, yeah, I remember reading about something like that. Or a speaker saying, if I feel a certain way, you know, it's okay, it's normal. And, you know, that's the situation. This is going to be completely normal for them, just like the millennials are just accepting things in a totally different fashion than us. And that's great. And it's accepting. And I find that we're making great strides from certainly a decade ago.
Absolutely. One of the best things that ever happened to me is I work a lot with the health department in town. So we have, I'm sure you've seen them, the little wallet size cards that have like the 800, the hotline number in there, the crisis number that they can keep. And I've done a couple events at the school or been there for like suicide week in September. And unfortunately, our town has lost a couple of the kids to suicide. And I guess the kids, you know, out of the mouth of babes, went to a school board meeting and said, okay, we're tired of burying our friends. What are you going to do? And they got the school stood up and paid attention. They said, "What is it?" Ask the kids, "What is it that you want?" And lo and behold, they all slipped out these wallet cards. And I was like, "And I mean, I wasn't at the meeting, but my contact with the health department, Caitlin, said they all whipped out these cards you gave them." I'm like, "Hey, cool!
I love
it. How many more do you need?"
Mm-hmm, exactly.
You know? So yeah, we ended up giving the school for the township about 3,000 of them. So they can, the counselors can hand them out, and then they have extras that if the kids need them.
Fantastic work. I mean, one little concept has just spearheaded into 3,000 who appeared in front of a board organization, and that's great because it'll be tenfold exponentially helping other people. Ellen, we're going to have to leave it right there. We ask people to attend your Unplug event at the Basking Ridge Firehouse this Saturday from 7 to 10 p.m. Your email is, you'll see, Ellen, J as in Jane, AFSP@gmail.com. Ellen, E-L-L-E-N, J as in Jane, AFSP@gmail.com. Ellen, thank you so much for all your tireless work.
All right, thanks, Mark.
Have a great day, and I'll have a cup of Joe for me. My name's Mark Farrell. My name's Mark Farrell. The show is Insight. Thanks for checking out the Progressive Radio Network each and every Thursday. Also, like to remind you to go on Facebook Live under the Progressive Radio Network, where you can always watch shows if you have the property or the rights at work and you're not blocked. Obviously, you can do that. Of course, you can look at the archive section anytime. My pleasure to introduce a representative from an organization that's just doing some incredible work. She's the co-founder and president of Impact 100. Maybe you've heard of Impact 100. They are a national organization, but Deirdre O'Brien Spiropoulos, how'd I do there? Oh, you have to get way closer to that micro. I'm sorry, Deirdre.
It's a mouthful.
Yeah, it is. And you're a handful because you do so much in a good way. You do so many incredible things with your time and your education as an international business student. You've brought all this together and couched it in an organization that basically fuels and finances through grants other organizations that qualify the needs of the Impact 100 standards and requirements.
That's right.
Was this something that you read about? Something that you said there's a need because there's nothing worse than seeing an organization that has the capability but not the means.
Mm. Believe it or not, I learned about this all-woman organization from a man.
As you should.
From my husband.
Kudos to him. George is your husband's name?
Yes, my husband's
Way to go, George.
Exactly. He, at the time, so this would be back in 2015. And as you said, Impact 100 is a national, in fact, it's now global, movement that's happening. So I can't personally take credit for the model and the whole concept. A woman named Wendy Steele founded it in 2001. And
Cincinnati?
In Cincinnati, yeah, absolutely. And she's since become a very much of a mentor to me. And the way she tells it is, you know, it was just something she started within her community. She never thought in her wildest dreams that this would go viral, which is what it's becoming. You know, now there's over 55 groups that have started across the U.S., and we have four in New Jersey. So back in 2015, I was home. I had taken a pause in my career. I had three little ones. I had had three children in 3 years. So life was a little bit crazy.
Irish triplets?
I guess so. That's one way to put it. Greek-Irish triplets.
There you go.
And I just knew that I needed to find my way. I had a calling, but I didn't know what it was, and I was open to it. And at the time, my husband was on a board up here in New York City, and a topic had come up about fundraising and how can we really get a large group of people together with, you know, fundraising. And someone at the table was a member of an impact group in Westchester, New York. And she mentioned this whole concept, and my husband immediately came home that night and told me about it. And I'm not a impulsive person. I would say, nope, you know. But at that very moment when he told me about the concept, I whipped out my phone. I started Googling it. And I really felt like this is something I need to be a part of. So when I researched it, I saw that there was actually already a chapter in New Jersey. And I figured, oh, maybe I'll join that. But realizing that it was up in North Jersey and we live down at the Jersey Shore.
Central-ish.
Yes, exactly. And the more I researched it, the more I realized, wait, this is something that's super local. I wouldn't even join that one because that is not my community. This is about women in your community coming together to pool our donations to help our community. And that was where kind of the idea spawned of.
So you love the localization aspect of it.
Love it.
So what was it in particular that struck a chord for you that made you initially just go in feverishly to research this, because this is something that obviously reverberated with you? What was it, do you know?
I think it was a couple of things. At the time, we had just moved to Monmouth County about 2 years before, and I was really taken aback, in a positive way, of how philanthropic the area was. You know, you open the local newspaper, there's galas, you learn about these nonprofits. I had just, you know, months before chaired a big fundraiser event for a local organization. And it dawned on me, like, people get it down here, particularly women. They want to be involved. They want to help in any way they can. And so I knew, I kind of had this gut instinct, I think this could work here. But the other piece was, you know, it's a $1,000 donation to, you know, be part of Impact. So that's a big ask. So it was, you know, how do we make this something that people really want to be a part of, that they see the value in it? And the other piece to it was the local need, that it's not just, oh, there's affluence and there's wealth, so we're going to get members, but there's also need. We live in an area that has tremendous need, poverty, you know, multiple issues. And so you want to kind of marry those two, of women who are able to make that donation, but also being able to benefit and help our community through the
recipients.
Nonprofits.
Now, when you talk about recipients, it's not only just a sole individual. It could be an organization.
Oh, absolutely. It is. It's always an organization who then therein benefit individuals. So it always does get down to the actual human piece. But we have a very rigorous grant application process. Because we give grants in the amount of $100,000 or more, it's very important to us that the organization can prove that they, you know, first we ask them to outline exactly how they will use the funding. And it's specifically for a project that addresses an unmet need, an underserved population, and we want it to have a high impact on the beneficiaries. Those are kind of our broad funding priorities. And so we really say to the organization, like, tell us about what you're going to do with this money, and how are you going to continue it after our money runs out? That's a really big, important piece to it. And so we have an application process, and the organizations will apply, and we are members who want to get involved that have the time. We don't, you know, require it by any means, but the women who do want to get more involved are trained and can read the grant applications, come together in committee, discuss them. They'll go on site visits to some of the organizations to understand the projects better. And then ultimately, they will put forth finalists. And those finalists, we have five this year, who will come and present in person to our entire membership. And then we, as a member membership, will vote and we'll learn who the grant recipient is.
Outstanding. I just had an epiphany while you were talking.
Oh, what? I could see the smoke above your head.
Exactly. Here's a reality show. Jersey Shore Impact 100. Because the reality is, you're doing so many incredible things for organizations on a small side that are sustainable, but I would imagine for the most part are needing this money, this 100K or more, to execute a new project, a new vision, a new chapter, a new division to what they're already doing or serving. So it's vital. And the fact that all these people come together, you know, I'm making this tongue in cheek, but it is something that's really, really empowering. And you know what also screams very loud and clear to me? No bureaucracy.
Mm.
The fact that someone, and believe me, I understand there's red tape for a reason, as you do, because you come from a corporate background, and I'd like to talk about that in a few minutes. But that's set up as in checks and balances, as we're hearing a lot about nowadays, mm-hmm. because our president doesn't believe in checks and balances. But sometimes that obviously can really slow down a process or maybe be prohibitive in some manner. But for Impact 100, the reality is somebody can apply for a grant and maybe have $100,000 or more within 6-8 months or less to execute a vision.
Absolutely. And that therein is the whole point. It's about impact. And when I first, you know, was researching the model and speaking to Wendy Steele, the founder, I asked, why not 10 grants of $10,000? Because wouldn't that arguably be impact? You know, you could hit 10 organizations.
The concentric circles would be wider.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But the whole idea behind it is that you're giving such a large infusion of money to these organizations who work so hard to even raise $1,000, $5,000, that this really is what's going to move the needle and really catapult these projects in a way that just wouldn't happen otherwise. And that's what we've heard from a lot of our grantees, that, you know, you've given us the seed funding or you've really given us this huge leg up, which then oftentimes unlocks more funding. Because you kind of are further along in the project and maybe government grants will come in. So there's really a lot of, we kind of talk about the impact of impact. It really can be far reaching.
And one of the organizations actually that I'm happy to be involved with and was a recipient from Impact 100 Jersey Shore was CFC, Coming Full Circle, an incredible organization that deals with drug recovery.
Mm.
And they were the recipient, and that speaks volumes to me because they eat, live, and breathe what they do for a living, how they impact other people's lives. So that $100,000 or more, I just can't imagine. I mean, you see the effect on social media. You see all the people's lives they positively impact. And that just speaks, you know, incredible in endless volumes.
Amazing. And it's all about the nonprofits. We just fund it. For us, we're just a pass-through organization. And like you said about the bureaucracy, that's another piece that I loved about it. It's like the way that we raise our grants is one channel, through our members. Each and every woman donates the same exact amount, and we each have an equal vote.
And how many members are there, Deirdre?
As of this year, we have 440 women.
Wow.
Yeah,
really?
It's like a small army. It's pretty funny, amazing. I don't know how.
440 women in one county-ish.
Yeah, exactly.
That's impressive. All word of mouth.
Yeah, pretty much all word of mouth, and just women bring women. When you know something that is,
that makes a good t-shirt. I'm going to make that up. Women brings women.
it's true. I really believe it, and just knowing that we are helping in some small way. We're not the ones doing the work. It's the CFCs and these wonderful organizations.
Sure, but you're the conduit.
That's just one way we're trying to
help. You're the vehicle, which is outstanding. Another organization, Clean Ocean Action, which is a great example of, yes, one of the finalists. And talk about the actual procedure, if you can, in 30 or 45 seconds, about how it gets whittled down and is it an arduous decision-making process?
Yeah. Well, it's women. They kick the tires. Everyone says, how do you make sure that you have good finalists and good grant recipients? We say, women in a room, they are the hardest audience to please. So I would really say the main way we do it is, you know, the application is really what outlines exactly the project, but being able, we have a rubric, an evaluation piece, and as the organizations bubble up and we decide this one looks really compelling, it's all about the site visit where we can be on site, meeting the executive director, seeing the clients, just really understanding what it will look like in live.
Excuse me, is that sometimes a challenge? Because in this day and age, there's no brick and mortar building sometimes. It's somebody just with a laptop.
Yeah, it could be. You know, oftentimes they want to show us exactly where the project would take place. But we're able, even just talking to the people who are going to implement
their vision,
it, that's so critical. Because it could be just a concept and not, like you said, a space or a building to look at. But what about the people who are implementing it? How can you get a feel for them? Are they effective leaders? Are they able to deliver on what they say they're going to?
And how did you form this board? I believe yourself, you have a co-founder, Heather?
Yes, Heather was instrumental in making this happen. Together, we founded it.
And everyone has their own expertise. You have an international business undergraduate degree with Spanish, and then you went to NYU for an advanced master's in business. So you have a great track record working with seasoned professionals at Prudential. So you come with a seasoned acumen in business. And so everyone has, I imagine, a different expertise that formulates this great directive and vision and execution for Impact 100.
Absolutely. That's what makes it work amazingly. And with Heather being the co-founder, it was really important because she had the understanding of the local nonprofit landscape in Monmouth County and was also a grant writer. So she really understands from the asking perspective from the organizations who ask for funding what that would look like. So she was critical in that piece. And we all bring our talents, and all 440 women, to be honest. Everyone brings their passions. We have five different categories that we aim to fund. And, you know, there's women who join because they're passionate about the environment, arts and culture, all different areas. And that's the idea of being able to see these different projects across the board.
Do you have set categories that you try to fulfill?
Yeah, so we have five categories. So when an organization applies, they have to tell us, they themselves decide which group they are. We have children and families, arts and culture, education, environment, parks and recreation, and health and wellness.
Do you have a millennial? I'm not sure, but give me the money box you can check. Because I'm sure would get a lot of attention.
Yeah. No, we don't have that yet.
That's
but we
fantastic.
Do have some millennials in our group, which we love. They're so fantastic. And I'll tell you, when we started this group, our youngest founding member, there was 11 of us who started in the living room and really said, like, okay, let's do this. The youngest was 33 and the oldest was 70. And I think that really speaks volumes as to how we've been so successful, because women from different backgrounds and different ages with different passions were able to, you know, get the word out to their circles. And now we have 440 women.
I'm not sure if doctrine would be the correct word, Deirdre, but would it be something that of a guideline that you want to stick with, have a woman-only organization where you're doing what you're doing, executing grants of this nature, or sometime down the road you would be open-minded and say, you know what, it doesn't matter. It's a genderless decision proven ground.
I love that question. And my husband, actually the one who told me about Impact, was like, I think we should do it co-ed, because that just means more people. So that means more money for the grants. Personally, I love the idea of women coming together to do something bigger and better than what we could as separate individuals.
So do I, in this day and age, especially in this landscape.
Yeah.
It's such a powerful time and such a vital time, I think. Not only does, obviously, the mission work, but I think the camaraderie that's established and what obviously develops, I'm sure, with these 100 women and in the meeting, how many relationships and how many other offshoots of positivity are formed because of the result of even just the meetings?
I mean, you said it. That's the reason why we're women. That's the reason why for now we're keeping it to a women's collective giving circle. But I will say, we joke around about Himpact, that we say to the men, why don't you do it?
Yes.
Go for it. Like, there's no reason why you shouldn't start one.
I love that
concept.
We think
that would be a wonderful, you know, probably would wind up being competitive and egos involved. With us, it's not so much, but we just love the idea of the egalitarian piece where, you know, we each give the same amount. Even if you want to, you can't give more. You don't get
that.
A second vote.
And the Himpact t-shirt will have a finger point and says, I'm with her.
I like it. Hey, if it's for the benefit of our community, we'll give you all our materials and help you get started.
Deirdre O'Brien Spiropoulos is my guest. She's the co-founder and president of Impact 100. Your website is impact100jerseycoast.org, impact100jerseycoast.org. Do me a favor, Deirdre, share a story with me, with maybe an organization that maybe you were kind of on the fence about. Or maybe you just were like very clear cut, decided like this is an organization that can just do so much good with this money. And what was the outcome?
Oh, that's good. From our grant recipients.
Correct.
Yeah. I mean, it's so funny. By the time they get to the site visit and the finals, it's so compelling. It actually, I don't mean to not answer your question, but
that's
I got to tell
you. That's
why
it needs to be a show, I'm telling you. There's something there.
Yeah. I mean, by the time you're on site seeing these projects that are so incredibly compelling, it makes you want to say, like, how can we get another grant? Like, we got to fund this. How do we do it? And that's why every year we've actually added a grant. We've really hit the pavement trying to recruit more women because we just, there's so much out there. We want to fund it. So I'm sorry. I can't tell you any skepticism.
My 7-year-old says, I have the excites. You have the excites. Yeah, how many grants are you executing now on an annual basis?
So
you're
right
up to seven now?
Yeah. So six that we funded to date. And then just in a few short weeks on November 19th, we'll be coming together as a membership to vote and we'll be awarding 4 grants, each in the amount of $110,000. So it's going to be a very exciting night where we will be able to, hear from these different groups. It's going to be wonderful.
Outstanding. So do you vision something different for 2020 or the same execution?
We're going all in, Mark.
And it doesn't seem like there needs to be any outreach in terms of getting applicants. It's all word of mouth, I imagine, very organic and grassroots.
Yeah, we would love to continue. I think that's the piece that we're really focusing on because we've grown our grants, but we really want to get the word out there and get as many possible applicants. I think sometimes there's a, not confusion, but, oh, I can't apply for that grant. That's, too much money or, maybe we don't fit or maybe we applied last year and we didn't get for far enough, so we're not going to do it again. And we're always saying every year is a new year. Please
Absolutely.
Reapply.
As a business executive, what would you say to somebody who's listening who has those inner voices saying, I'm not X, Y, and Z. I would not be a suitable candidate.
I would say two things. Take a look, really research our grants page. We put a lot of time and effort into our website to make sure that organizations can understand what our funding priorities are. And look at what projects we funded already. Call those guys. Call those nonprofits. They're so fantastic, these 6 different groups that we've had. And we actually hold information sessions when we're in the March timeframe before our application opens. And we do a panel with the groups that have received our grant who are able to speak firsthand about what they did to kind of get that far along in the process. And lastly, I'd say really look within your organization. This is an opportunity to talk to your board, to talk to your executive director, to talk to your clients about what can we do that's transformational and how can we use funding via impact to really move forward this organization to the next level. So that would be my
advice. That's incredible insight. And I love the fact that you can have recipients giving advice, sage advice in terms of what worked for them and how they went through the process.
It's the best way for us. Yeah. We love this idea. We borrowed it from another Impact chapter.
Why not?
Like, it's just the beautiful thing of women sharing information. It's not a competition. It's very much cooperative. And we love the idea because we're the grant maker, but they need to hear from the people who actually received the grant. We can only tell them so much on what to do, but we love the idea of leveraging the experience and the success of the other groups.
Outstanding. And of course, Progressive Radio Network is international. So if people want to research Impact 100, the national website is impact100.org?
I believe so, yes. And if you just Google Impact 100, so much will come up. There's a global council that is kind of the overarching umbrella organization.
Which has an annual conference as well, correct?
Yeah, they meet up every 2 years. I'm actually headed to Pensacola in a few weeks, and I'll actually be speaking at that conference.
Good for you.
All the different groups come and convene to share best practices.
For more information, check out impact100jerseycoast.org. That's impact100jerseycoast.org. Deirdre O'Brien Spiropoulos, thank you so much for having
such
an incredible vision that is executed on a local level that benefits so many vital organizations that really touches the lives of so many. I mean, I'm a full believer in it takes a village.
Oh, yeah.
And this concept really just applies that, funnel to these organizations that really can do so much great work with it. Stellar work. All the best to you.
Thank you very much.
Insight will continue right after this. You're going to meet Tara Price, and she is from Family Nature Summits.
Talk with Mark now. Call 888-874-4888. Insight on the Progressive Radio Network.
Families have so many choices on where to vacation. I mean, think about it. You're just bombarded with ads for warm locales, of course, all the rituals of Disney World, and you know it if you're a parent. It's hard to escape that. But here is an incredible reason to break the mold. Family Nature Summits has been around for almost 50 years. In 2020 will be their 50th anniversary, and I'm very happy to say it's brought Tara Pace, a board member, to the show. Good morning.
Good morning.
I am just stoked to learn about this organization that just embraces families, embraces the great outdoors, where you can unplug and actually connect with nature.
That is the whole point, is to unplug and to literally live in the moment with nature.
Fantastic. So many people who love the nature and the outdoors, it's hard to book a trip like this. So when there's an organization that's been around for 50 years, I mean, you guys do it right. You have local experts, and we're going to talk about all the different locales and everything and all the different options for adults and for kids. But the overall experience is just very rare, and it's great to see an organization in existence for so long, changing and impacting so many lives.
Yes, we're very, very proud of this organization. I have read so much history about how it started back when National Wildlife Federation started the summits. And at some point, National Wildlife Federation decided to discontinue doing it because they had other purposes that they wanted to fill after
doing summits. Their plate's pretty
full. Yeah, their plate was pretty full. And we had a number of members of that time that decided they didn't want it to end, that the love of the summits was so strong in their heart that they wanted to continue. So we literally had members from that year when NWF had made that announcement step up to bat and fill the roles that needed to be filled in order to keep the organization going.
Now, is your husband that turned you on to Family Nature and Summits?
It is.
Because he attended there as a youth?
He did. My in-laws took my husband and his sister and cousins and extended family to the summits back
love
in
it.
The 70s and the 80s. My husband has a deep love for it. He's mentioned it many times to me over our marriage. And when we had our son, he was really pushing for it. When our son was around three, he said, I'd really like to start going back to this thing that I used to do as a child called the Conservation Summits. And I was modeling at the time and traveling all over the world and staying at hotels here and there. And the last thing
so
I wanted to do
was asking me to rough it, pal.
Yeah, I was basically like, really? Like, you
where
know,
am I going to plug in my hair dryer?
No, that's not me at all. But
I
really just didn't understand the whole thing, I think. And the first year that I went was in Bar Harbor, Maine. And it was absolutely breathtaking, spectacular.
It
the organization knocked my socks off. I didn't know that anything like this existed out there. I kept saying, wow, why don't more people know about this? This is absolutely incredible. You can see the love. You can feel the magic. It's palpable in the air within the organization of the people. It's fantastic to come together as a group in our evening time together when everybody's talking about everything that they've learned.
Oh, I imagine that's got to be part of the buzz,
seen.
The campfire.
It is. It's absolutely
you
the
have
buzz
the magic
at the
that
campfire.
Happens. Sure.
Yeah, it's just from 3 years old to 83 years old, the
love
magic
it.
Is just as strong.
So did you need to be cajoled, or were you like, this is a great, complete opposite world for me, and I want to embrace it? Let's give it a whirl.
I didn't need much cajoling. Actually, to tell you the truth, I really wanted to do this for my husband because this meant something to him. And that's what you do when you're a married couple. You support each other and you do the things that are important to them. This was important to him. He wanted to raise his son with the same adventures that he had had as a child, the things that had shaped the person who he is today. And I can say now this will be my 9th summit coming up.
Outstanding.
My son, who is getting ready to turn 3 now, is an expert on animals and everything, every living organism. He
in is reality, not virtual reality.
In reality.
Yeah, this versus a game where other kids are experts.
Yes, he is an expert in real time.
Outstanding.
Absolutely.
You know, so many kids, I am a big proponent of my kids being outdoors, and we live in a suburban area, and it's an acre of property. We have woods, and we have family that are farmers, et cetera. So I've always been behind that. So is my wife. And so if you let them sit in front of a computer, they'll sit there all day long. But as soon as you say to them, hey, let's do X, Y, and Z, they're gone. And they completely forget about technology. What's the name of that game? He's just Xbox or whatever, but whatever game. But it's so true that that is so much more powerful and so much more indelible when they experience that, especially when they meet other kids who are around their same age and just do zip lines and campfires and kayaking and you name it. It's just, wow, this trumps everything.
It really does trump everything. And there's so many components to it. I mean, these children aren't, they're meeting children from across the country. So we have families that come from Canada, they come from England, mainly in the United States, but we do get international families. And these children are getting a chance to meet children from other states that live in different environments. And they're sharing that within.
About culture. And about, you wouldn't think about culture. That when you're going camping.
No, not at all.
But you will have a cultural experience.
Right, they really do. And they have unbelievable leaders. I mean, these people are specialists in their fields. They have incredible backgrounds. They're masters in every area of naturalists. And the children are just gobsmacked with the information, with what they're shown. You know, they'll pull up our water ecologist, Bruce Lamprecht, will pull something out of the lake with his bare hands, and it will look like a blob with things all over it. And I've never seen anything like it in my life. Neither have the kids. And they're all touching it, and he's telling them all about it. And you can see them. They're living in the moment.
Sure, entranced.
They're absolutely, they're not just reading about nature. It's not just some imaginary thing in a book. They're touching it. And they're learning why it's important that it's here on this earth. They're learning what it is doing in its habitat for the other things around it and the purpose that it serves in that environment. And they are really into that. They really suck it up and they want more. And they're so hungry for more of that information that by the end of the week, they're all specialists on the area that we're visiting.
And it's vital because think about the generations we're preparing, that we want them to be the ambassadors of this globe. And before I guess we bestow that honor or a diligent job, overwhelming job, that we got to get them to love it.
We really do.
For what it's worth.
We really need to give them a chance to have an appreciation for nature, to fall in love with nature, to touch nature, to be in nature, before we can really ever expect them to try to save it. When they're spending their whole childhoods behind screens, iPads, iPhones, on their telephones, not living in the moment, not being in nature, especially for our city children.
Mm. And education is key, but this is a part of education.
This is a huge component. This is our mission.
And I think this usually just comes under the fun umbrella, though, for most people.
It's fun.
It is.
Being in nature is fun.
To open your eyes and to experience something of this nature is just a whole different category, and I think it's vital.
Yes. It's a hard thing to sell, though. You know, when you have families that live in big cities, they want to get away from the city. I know I'm almost 48, and 10 years ago when my son was young, all I could dream of was going to the beach, lying on the beach and doing nothing. But that's not how I want a vacation anymore, and I can see the difference from just laying down and reading a book on the beach, which is lovely sometimes, and we all need
that. Absolutely. You can't discount that.
But when it comes to a family vacation, this vacation, I always feel like I'm kind of dumbing it down by calling it a vacation even, because it's bigger than that. It's an experience. Hmm. You are going on an experience, and yes, you come home relaxed, and yes, you are having a vacation from the norm of your life. But you are coming back fulfilled. Your children are coming back fulfilled. Your husband's coming back fulfilled. Everybody gets to do what they want, when they want, within our programming that's suited for them.
Hmm.
And then all come together in the afternoon at 3:30 in the afternoon and share our experiences
snack time.
Together. Yeah, snack time. We have great afternoon family programs that you can attend or not attend. We have evening programs every evening. They're fascinating. They can often be on predatory animals or maybe wolves in the wild, or we might have incredible storytellers that are quite well known that live in the area that we're visiting. We try to source people that live in that area because, of course, they know it better than we do.
They know the ecosystems. I mean, I'm sure you have your business and core of people at Family Nature Summits, but you want the people who are on the pulse of the local community.
Absolutely.
Tara Pace is my guest. My name is Mark Farrell. The show is Insight on the Progressive Radio Network. And that's the best thing about this is it's kind of a la carte. If you're an adult, your kids want to do X, Y, and Z, but you can wake up and do a multitude of things, or just chill and do absolutely nothing. Put on your boots and do your own thing.
Absolutely. The children's program starts at 8 and ends at 3:30. That goes from K, kindergarten, all the way to young adults, to 26 years old. Everybody's programs end at 3:30 unless you're choosing to do a big, gigantic hike, which is one of my favorite things to do, and those end up being like 10 to 15 mile hikes.
Great.
In a day. They're fantastic. Sometimes they're a half-day hike, half-day kayak, so you get a little bit of different experiences. And you're learning while you're hiking. You're learning about what's in the forest, what's living on the forest floor, what's living in the canopy of the trees. What is that blight that's growing on the tree? Why is that happening? How are the local industries around us affecting this environment? These are the things that we're learning while we're there. And yes, there is no question we are having the time of our lives. We are laughing all the way down the trail. But we go home with such valuable knowledge to share with our own communities when we come home to help make that change that we all need to make in order to reduce our carbon footprint, to make better choices about things we're purchasing in grocery stores, not buying things that are in the plastic cartons, the things that we cannot recycle. I mean, everybody can make a difference. Microplastics are a big topic at the Family Nature Summits, as they are in the world right now. This is not something that we can filter out of our waters anywhere in the United States. Last year, we learned in the Great Lakes of Michigan that the state of Michigan, is actually raising the money to build an infrastructure to actually be able to filter out microplastics out of their drinking water, their public drinking water.
Yeah.
There's no other state in the country that's able to do this. So if you have running water coming out of your kitchen faucet and you're drinking it, you are getting microplastics. This is because we are using products with microplastics in it that's going down the drain. It gets to the sanitation department, and they are incapable of filtering that.
And it's fascinating because with all the different options available, I mean, birding, area history, mining, crafts, freshwater ecology, local geology, adventure race, horseback riding, kayaking, the list goes on and on and on. It's very affordable.
It's very affordable. It is. You're really getting a lot for your money here.
I'll be honest with you. I was expecting it to be pretty astronomical, and it's really affordable. I was like, well, okay, we can do this. The Farrell family can be on board here.
Yes.
And also you offer scholarships.
We do. We offer scholarships every year. This year we're offering 2 teacher scholarships, and we always offer children's scholarships. This year we offer, our children's scholarships come through the Craig Tufts Fund through the National Wildlife Federation. So they provide that scholarship, and they are our parent company. And that was something that was donated from a family. And they do that every year for us, which is wonderful, and for the child and the parents that come with the child. And then we also offer the scholarships through our own money-raising skills.
Tara, when you say a teacher to actually work the actual summit?
No.
Or a teacher in the world of professional teachers?
A professional teacher that wants to come and experience a summit.
Who deserves to get away.
Who deserves to get away, certainly, by all means. And we love to have teachers come.
Great.
Because when teachers come, they bring all that valuable information home with them. And then they share it with their classroom and with their school.
That's fascinating. Great concept. And there was a Grammy Award winner, a 5-time Grammy Award winner, who was not part of the board there, but it plays a vital part of the Taos region. He is on an area of land, and I can find my paperwork in a moment, that is dates back to hundreds of years ago.
Hundreds of years ago. This was when we visited Ghost Ranch, New Mexico. He was just fantastic. Robert Mirabel, yes. He was so incredible. His storytelling was
captivating, I imagine.
Absolutely captivating. At times it brings you to tears to think that there really are people out there still trying to live off of the earth and keeping the standards that their generations before them kept. And they were lovely, lovely people.
in awe and has returned, or just some part of their life has just been so positively impacted due to their experience?
I'm going to have to just step up here. I mean, I know so many people, truthfully, but I'm going to say, I'm going to put myself in that hot seat. It really impacted my life. I've always been a nature lover, but this brought it to, this really brought it to me in a way that nothing else out there can bring it to you. The Family Nature Summits does all of the work for you. When you go to on a vacation with the Family Nature Summits, all of the hard work has been done. You don't have to stress. You don't have to pull out your wallet anymore. Everything's provided for you. All of the meals, the footwork, the lodging, the tents. All of the vetting of the best that the area has to offer has been done. Our local specialists that are that volunteer for our organization go and scout it many, many times before the actual summit happens. Everything is prepared. All the best hikes are picked out.
Is there any food actually caught and prepared?
No. I mean, not by
purposefully.
Us. Not by us. Maybe by one of the places that we were staying at, but not by us, no. I think when we were in Maine, they did that. I think the chef had gone out and caught
absolutely.
A whole bunch of lobster.
Yeah. Why not, man?
Which was fantastic.
That's what I want.
Give me a poll.
I'll contribute.
Yes. That was wonderful. But yes, we are very blessed that we really have incredible volunteers. And pretty much everybody's a volunteer. Even the people that show up for our nightly programs, they want to be a part of what we do. When they hear about us, they really want to be involved, because this is the type of thing that they want to be involved with.
Now, some people are envisioning tents, and some people are envisioning lean-tos, and some of our listeners, I imagine, are envisioning a five-star hotel.
Well, they can
clarify.
They can envision all kinds of things. The beautiful thing about the summits is that every year it's different. Because it's in a different location, it provides us with different opportunities for housing, whether it is... It's never a five-star hotel. I'm going to say we generally are a three-star hotel type of organization. You're never in your room. You're at breakfast at 6:30 a.m. You're getting your kids ready. Mm. You got to be to your class at 8. You're really never there. You get back at 3:30. You take a quick shower. You're back out for the evening programs and dinner. And by the time you get back, you can barely open your eyes. You just need to go to bed because you're tired and fulfilled and... The endorphins are still pumping specialists in that field. And then we have programming from kindergarten all the way up to 26-year-olds when our young adults eventually become adults. And then our adults are, you know, from the young to the young at heart. And we've had families that our specialists that have been doing this for 44 years, some of them. I mean, some of them have been coming for many, many decades. For them, this is a wow summit. They are so hungry to get in there and teach us all about the banana slug that lives in the redwood forest.
I want to see a banana slug. You haven't lived until you've seen a
banana slug.
Absolutely. For more information, email info@familynaturesummitsplural.org. info@familynaturesummits.org. Phone number 949-743-2567. 949-743-2567. Unplug wherever you are, in the urban environment, suburban, whatever part of the world you're in. Check out Family Nature Summits. Tara Pace, thank you so much for all that you do and for bringing your beloved and passion of the outdoors into us and sharing it with everyone, because it's so invaluable for everyone to experience, you know, where we are. I mean, the soil beneath our feet
is important.
Yeah, it's hugely
important. And we're so disconnected from our natural habitat now that everybody is living in cities. I think that people really forget how to live off of the earth. And we really do learn those skills while we're there. Wilderness survival, wilderness first aid. What do you do in an emergency? How do you read a map? How do you orienteer a map? You learn all of these just basic fundamental things that we really
off the
should
grid,
still
analog,
know how to
and
do.
Non-digital, important,
absolutely.
Vital aspects of
there's
living.
There's no just punching into, you know, your iPhone, say, you know, GPS, take me to the biggest redwood tree.
Exactly.
It doesn't
Where
work
is
like
McDonald's?
That.
No, it doesn't work like that. FamilyNatureSummits.org, FamilyNatureSummits.org. Tara Pace, thank you so much and all the best to you.
Thank you so much. And thank you, listeners.